Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here's your host, Fred Obiero.
Welcome to the Ivy Podcast with Fred Obiero. Our guest today is Deepak Jose. Deepak is a digital transformation leader at Mars Inc. As part of the demand analytics capability building, he led initiatives focusing on strategic revenue management, route to market optimization, SKU rationalization, marketing transformation, which includes shopper, consumer promotion, and media, and DCOM. He also led an SRM advanced analytics transformation program globally for pet nutrition, Mars Wrigley, food, and multi-sales segments in the top 15 markets while managing a team of data scientists and business translators. All right, Deepak, thanks a lot for being with us today. If you don't mind, could you just share with us your full name, your title, and the company that you work for?
Absolutely. My name is Deepak Jose. I'm part of Mars Digital Transformation team. As part of my role, I lead digital business strategy and advanced analytics. I am part of a global team at Mars, which serves for all the largest segments, solving their largest business problems with a single objective to help Mars move with 100 times speed.
That's good. All right. In your estimation, what are the attributes that separate a digitally mature organization from one that's in the early stages of digital transformation?
That's a great question, Fred. Few areas that I want to deep dive about the attributes which a digitally mature organization should have. The first one is the culture of experimentation. Mm-hmm. It is a tough skill set to have because as larger organization, we are alluded to doing large projects in a very short period of time. Building an experimentation culture is completely different. So something which we are very proud of at Mars is our ability to not go for larger initiatives, but do smaller initiatives, which is in the area of experimentation. Another aspect of digital transformation in this area is specifically to advanced analytics. The way I would rate analytics maturity is the readiness of the company to consider advanced analytics as their competitive advantage. There are many ways a company can be mature or do analytics initiatives. One way to do it is completely outsourcing it to an analytics agency to do it. Or you can bring the essence of advanced analytics capability internally, owning the IP. This is another aspect where we are really proud of at Mars, the ability to for us to drive experiments. Now, analytically mature organization, digital transformation can help you break the organizational silos as well. And one of the examples that I can give, traditionally in organizations, for example, pricing as a capability or promo optimization as a capability. These problems were solved in silos. Mm-hmm. Now a mature organization, and this is a transformation that I have seen at Mars, where traditionally pricing, which was a capability of a CFO's organization, promo optimization, a capability of sales organization, the digital transformation was able to influence and break the silos. And now we are solving the problem as one. Otherwise, we might take a price increase. If the sales team is unable to sell it in, we would increase the promo. And overall, it was not a good result for the company. So it is very similar to a joke, like a doctor telling, hey, the surgery went really well, but the patient is dead. This is what I would allude to. So this is one example, like how can digital transformation break an organizational silo to drive maturity or move ahead of the other competition. That would be the three key aspects that I would highlight from an analytics maturity standpoint.
You talk about there's a possibility for companies to outsource their one of their digital transformation divisions. Is there any benefit to doing that as opposed to building that team within the company? Do you mind going over that?
Very good question. See, I'm not here by any way suggesting to not work with partners. I think one of the key attributes of success for the Mars Digital Transformation initiative is its ability to work with our analytics partner ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But the more important question is, how can we keep that partnership and build an intellectual property for Mars, which is going to help us not really help short-term, but also help us long-term? And how can we make it as a significant competitive advantage for us?
Okay. When we talk about innovation and Moore's Law comes to mind, where computer processor speeds double every 2 years, is there a need to revisit your digital strategy every so often to keep pace with innovation?
That's a great question. So the answer which I would have given you 1 year back compared to what I'm giving now, especially post-COVID, it has significantly changed. Post the pandemic, or we are different parts of the world, we are living through the pandemic, the consumer behaviors have significantly changed. If we look at our category, the channel mix is shifting significantly. Mm-hmm. Our e-commerce is accelerating. There are a lot of different changes. Now, traditionally, we tell, hey, we have to build a better, faster, and cheaper product for my current business problem. What was the mantra? Building to scale was the mantra. Now it is changing to building to adapt. So that is one thing which is very important for us to drive innovation. So whatever investments or the capability that we are building, unless until it is agile or flexible, it can be a challenge.
Okay.
Another key aspect which I would bring, the maturity that we discussed earlier. The analytics maturity of an organization is a moving target. There is no fundamental place, hey, we have become mature and we stop digital transformation. That does not work. So it's a moving target. We need to continue to invest and continue to build our capabilities in this.
There is so much data that's available to companies these days, and a lot of analytics is being performed. Some companies tend to do this well, while others seem to struggle. To the extent that you can share with us, what are some of the data strategies that you believe can help bring about better organizational analytics?
Hey, that's a great question again. At Mars, as I mentioned earlier, see, we are a 100-year-old company. We know how to make money. The sole aim of Mars Digital is to help the organization move with 100x speed. And how are we doing that? There is a lot of data. There are more noise than data nowadays. The more important thing is the approach that we leverage. We call it at Mars as Mars Digital Engine. Mars Digital Engine, we have four key pillars. One is find, second one is solve, third one is deliver, and the last one is automate. What is find? Finding is working very closely with our business users or the business leaders to understand what is the biggest business problem that they are finding. Mm-hmm. And how can we prioritize these business problem to drive maximum value? We leverage user centricity principles like design thinking to identify this process. Now we have a prioritized problem, which is based on the value and risk. Now we go to the solve aspect. Now, in the solve, it is all about how can we leverage data and advanced analytics capabilities to solve it. AI, machine learning, think about it, building the right capabilities for the people, mm-hmm. leveraging the right processes, and building the right platforms. That's how we solve. Now, delivery is very important. There are different kinds of ways traditional capability building happens. One is a waterfall approach. Another one is more of an agile approach. Mm-hmm. We generally tell this to the business stakeholders and the leaders. If you want to move from point A to point B, you don't need a Ferrari, you just need a skateboard. So the real question is, if you want to move really fast, if you want to build that capability, how can you move there using a skateboard, the fastest way? And the last aspect is automation. Now, a lot of our times, if you think about a sales analyst or a lot of part of the organization, spend a lot of time in mining the data, cleaning the data, generating the insights. This is where automation comes in. We can figure out, and we have seen in multiple cases, we are able to absolutely eliminate manual process to a great extent, so that these associates can spend their time more effectively in driving value for the business. So Mars Digital Engine is essential, finding, solving, delivering, and automating. Now, none of this is possible, or it does not add value if we don't track ourselves for a specific KPI. There are many digital transformation programs running at Mars, and one of the programs which I am closely associated with is called Strategic Revenue Management, and we have a very clear lock of target of unlocking the and maximizing the value there. So there is a profitability goal. Unless until any of the activities are driving a profitability, we move away from it. So that is another important aspect of it as we deliver value using data and advanced analytics.
That's great. You've worked for some large organizations such as Coca-Cola and now Mars, of course. What would you describe as some of the biggest challenges in a digital culture that face business leaders? And what master plans can they implement to ensure they achieve success?
That's a very good question. Mars, Coca-Cola, two different kind of organization. Mars being a privately held organization, Coke being a publicly listed company. But you can draw a lot of similarities in building these capabilities for these two organizations. Now, one of the challenges that we face is the organizational mindset of how can we build progress over perfection. As human beings, we love genius things. We love the perfect things. If you listen to German philosopher Nietzsche, he tells the same thing. People love genius. It is the simplest way to explain it is, we love to see Usain Bolt running 100 meters in less than 10 seconds, but we don't want to see him go through years of rigorous practice. So that is a mindset shift that we need to make. So especially in advanced analytics, unless until we move away from the mindset of making progress in small steps, that if we can influence that mindset, I think we can make a lot of change in the organization. Another aspect, again, I mentioned earlier, is breaking down the organizational silos. From a data standpoint, we might have the same data assets, which might solve two or three different business problems. But businesses are generally organized in larger organizations. It might not be interacting enough. So there is definitely an opportunity to break that organizational silo and work more collaboratively, not only from a data standpoint or solving the business problem standpoint, how we go to customers together. The best example that you can think about, especially post-pandemic, is the omni-channel strategy that organization or manufacturers have to adopt. If you traditionally there was a brick and mortar strategy and there was a e-commerce strategy, that is not going to cut it anymore. The retailers are going to ask you for an organizational omni-channel strategy. That is the way they are going to communicate to the consumer. So breaking organizational silos is another challenge that I would highlight.
The use of advanced methodologies such as AI, machine learning, and deep learning are now on the rise across different organizations. what practical advice do you have for teams that are just now getting started on implementing AI strategies?
Fantastic question. It is very important to start these journeys in the right way. And that operating model is very important. The one unique success factor for Marsh that we have seen is our MVP approach, or minimum viable product. Over a period of last few years, the Marsh team have done more than 300 different MVPs where separate business problems were solved, leveraging AI machine learning to find the right outcome. Now, what is an MVP? MVPs are small initiatives which are probably 6 to 12 weeks, where we have a business problem, we define the problem in such a way that we can solve it in 12 weeks. So instead of going for a multi-million dollar investment and boiling the ocean, solving a large problem, we solve a small problem and we solve a lot of them. That does not mean that all the MVPs are going to be successful. Some are going to fail, and those are learning opportunities. We take that learning for other MVPs. So for any new organization who are starting in this journey, MVP approach, it is going to be very successful. One key belief system or the way we need to change, especially this comes for large IT organizations. This is not like an ERP implementation, AI or machine learning. No projects are going to run for multiple years. We experiment small. If you have heard Mother Teresa's that comment, if you have heard, not everybody can do great things, but you can do small things with great love, right? So this is the same message I would, let's start small, do it really well, and do a lot of them.
You've mentioned 12-week cycles for the MVP. Is there any particular reason behind the 12 weeks?
I think
as far as the time frame.
12-week is not specific. It can move from, we have done MVPs which are as small as 2 weeks and as longer as 12 weeks. I think for solving any larger business problem, if we go through our framework or find, solve, deliver, and automate, what we have for the larger business problems, 12-week is a right kind of time that you can allocate. If we can't prove value in 12 weeks, I think that is not the right problem, or there is some challenge in the strategy. So that's again, this is no one single solution to the answer, but I think that is one approach that we have taken.
Right. Strategic pricing is widely regarded as one of the top ways in which consumer product companies can increase their revenues. What are some of the strategies that data analytics teams can utilize in order to better understand how pricing activities affect the overall business, particularly for startups and smaller companies that are just, you know, new into the industry?
Strategic pricing is one of my favorite areas, so I can talk about it for a long time. and thanks for highlighting this. Now, strategic pricing, the pricing strategy of an organization can vary dramatically depending on how that organization's values and the principles were originally found. Now, within Marsh, our perspective is to move away from a cost-based pricing to a value chain-driven pricing. That is very important for us. What does a value-driven pricing means? We need to drive value to not only the company Marsh, but also to our consumer, our customer partners, and more importantly, our category as well. So that is very important. So that's how we think about the value-based pricing. Now, in one of my earlier examples that I highlighted, it is very challenging for any business to, especially a manufacturer, to think about pricing separately and promotion separately. It has happened in many organizations. It continues to happen in many organizations. So when you are building your pricing capability, it is important for you to think about breaking these silos so that you have a comprehensive strategy between strategic pricing and trade promotion when you go to the customers. The second important point is about building that white box versus a black box pricing capability. Now, if you go to the market, there are more than 100 people who can help you build a pricing strategy. But mm-hmm. is that giving you the right competitive advantage? If we get a black box solution, will we have the right level of explainability? The answer is no. So it is very important for us to think about what kind of capability that you can build internally, owning those capability that is going to help you in the future. The biggest example that I can give is when COVID hit, we were able to explain if there was a change in volume, what was the actual factors to it? Was it because of a pricing strategy? Was it because of COVID? Was it because of seasonality, a competitor action? Is it cannibalizing? Is it because of execution? We were able to explain it in a much better way. And the last aspect of strategic pricing is think about pricing in an omni-channel way. There is no more brick and mortar and e-commerce separately. You should not think about it. You should think about brick and clicks. Pure play e-commerce players are going to influence. They are not going to go away. They are going to get accelerated. So depending on each country's that strategy needs to be optimized. US strategy or a Russia strategy or a Western market strategy, which works for modern trade, is not the right strategy for a traditional state. So we need to think about all these different aspects as we are building the strategic pricing capability.
Great. Deepak, a lot of our listeners are people that are potential future leaders and are looking to move up in their organizations. What advice do you have that you can share on how leadership teams and managers can help identify and nurture talented individuals for leadership roles?
Great question. And I can share some approaches that we have seen working at Marsh. At Mars, we call something called a 361 capabilities, which is the digital mantra for this. The first aspect of it is the learning mindset. If you look at the digital transformation organization, you primarily see people who are Martians, who had a long-term career at Mars, but because of their passion in transformation, they have moved towards digital transformation or advanced analytics organization. You would see people like that. You would see a lot of people who are in large CPG companies who have done similar thing, who have joined the organization. A common theme that you would see across all these different kind of associates is their learning mindset. They might be a subject matter expert in the past of some capability, but they are actively learning something new. A good example that I can give, one of the associates in my team, she started as a business translator analyst. She was very passionate about Agile. She started taking certification for Scrum Master. She is moving into Agile Delivery Manager. I know of people who have been in an entirely different role, and they are spending time to do or build capabilities in advanced analytics, doing some extra projects, new initiatives, building that capability to come and join our team. And these are some of the key areas that how associates can look at or like build their skill sets to come to a potential organization like this. Now, there is one thing for all analytics professionals that I would recommend. Unless until there is a clear articulation of the value that we are generating, we are not doing mm-hmm. justice to our profession. So whenever we are doing a digital transformation or advanced analytics initiative, always think about what is the incremental value that you are creating for the organization. If you are creating, we are in a good spot. I think that mindset is also very important.
Here at Prosus IT, I lead the IT recruitment division for some of the technical roles, such as AI engineers, data scientists, site reliability engineers, and embedded vision software engineers, just to name a few. What are the hardest skill sets for your team to find in the current job market where we've seen a high rate of unemployment?
Very, very good question. And I think this is my perspective. So I want to highlight that. So if you think about analytics capabilities, you can think about the business translator skill set, the data scientist skill set, and the data engineering skill set, if you were to divide the capabilities. Now, data engineers, these are the game changers in the industry who helps you ingest billions of rows of data or more, right? These are the talents. You can find people who are in different industries, CPG, not in retail, or even researchers who can do a great job at it. Modeling, when it comes to CPG, it's a little bit different. You have challenges with data, the data access. We don't have consumer data all the time. So we depend on the Nielsen's, IRIs of the world. It can be from e-commerce. So the people who model the data, I think that is still, there are, to get the right talent, and understanding the CPG context, there are people who can come in from different industries and learn. Now, the last aspect, business translator, I think if I were to give my perspective, that is one of the toughest to find. One of the key criteria for success for an analytics initiative is to, say, for example, talk to the CEO of a market and understand his priorities. Communicate across the organization from a C-level executives to a VP, to a director, to a manager, to an analyst, and understand what are their key problems. Communicate this back to a data scientist so that they understand the complexities of it from a data standpoint. Then subsequently get their help to generate insight and influence it within the organization. Now, that kind of skill set, I think it is going to be very valuable to an organization, which is going to make them successful, and very difficult to find now for us.
You've talked about some of those skill sets that are difficult to find for your teams. What strategies do you deploy to attract such niche talent for your teams, especially for those roles that you know you're not going to find those people easily?
So I think we had this internal dialogue quite a lot. Areas, I think, especially a post-pandemic situation, I think we are, there is a lot more location flexibility. So everybody does not have to be in one location to get the things done. So that is something which we are exploring. So our main job hubs are essentially US, UK, where you would see a lot of business translators, even multiple locations within the US. But what we are trying to do is to look at locations like Russia, China, or Brazil, where we are looking for business translator talent. So that flexibility of location is one. Now, in some cases, I think we don't think about the March digital as only us. We also leverage our analytics partner ecosystem. Some of the best talent they are able to bring to us, and we out-collaborate with them to bring the right talent as well. So again, there are multiple strategies. I'm just highlighting a couple of things which we are trying to
do. Okay. And what skills do you look for in candidates that are joining your team for potential leadership roles? And what strategies can you share with us on what they can do to make themselves stand out?
Very, very good question. So I get this question quite a lot. For a successful analytics practitioner, the key skill set that, in my perspective, they need to have is a combination of business understanding, the math skills and the technology skills. So it's a combination of all these three. You might not have all these three on day one, but I think you need to have at least two to be successful, even if it is for an internship role or to be a full-time role. I think it's a combination of these. Now, some of the skill set as the business problems that we are trying to solve, it is continuously evolving. The ability to deal with ambiguity, I think that is very important. Ability to influence the stakeholders, to drive a new ways of working, that is very important. And the last part, I would say, how can you manage the vision and how can you drive purpose in it? So I would highlight these three capabilities for potential candidates.
Great. You have a very diverse background, and I wanted to ask you, what word of advice would you give someone that wants to pursue a career that's similar to yours?
Again, great question. This is something which makes you think quite a lot and self-reflect your journey. I think obviously the background of engineering and B-School helped me quite a lot to understand the business, understand the math and the technology aspect better. Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking to my leadership team, and I know my manager a while back, almost a decade back during my stint at Coke. At that time, my expertise was in the area of finance. I was doing finance. I was part of the finance team there, and I had an interaction with my current manager who was doing digital transformation there. Our conversation, and that time I did not have a lot of advanced analytics skill set. No, sometimes you have to go out of the way to build that experience.
Right.
To understand, are you really passionate about it? So that has, a lot of guidance that he has given me a while back, it is still handy. I have taken different roles to build my advanced analytical skill set to understand how a digital transformation works, which slowly helped me to move towards a digital transformation role. I was talking to him. It's after all these while, close to a decade later, now I am part of a digital transformation team, and the journey was very interesting.
It's a very good example. Deepak, thanks a lot for being with us today. Looking forward to checking back in with you again, maybe in a couple of years, and see where things stand in your life.
Thank you very much, Fred. I really appreciate this opportunity. I look forward to talking to you again very soon with some more success stories from Marsh.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.